so excited about today because, first of all, is we get to baptize some folks today that have made some decisions recently to follow Christ with their life. And that's always exciting, a time when somebody goes public with that decision, says, you know what, I'm trusting Jesus, I want the world to know, and I'm going to follow in baptism. And we're going to talk about it briefly in just a moment. But let me just say this. You say, you know what? I made a decision. I gave my life to Christ recently or maybe some years ago, but I never got baptized. And I got great news for you this morning. You can this morning. You say, well, I didn't bring a towel. I didn't bring a change of clothes. We have all that for you right out there in the lobby. Towards the end of the service, you're going to have that opportunity to respond for those that are being baptized. And maybe you came this morning, like I said, and you say, you know what? Hey, I want to give my life to Christ today. I want to be baptized today. And we can do that. You say, we're going to do it in the rain? Absolutely. We're prepared for that as well. So we've got a great team out there getting ready, making all the preparations and everything. But I tell you what, maybe you've visiting for the first time at Genesis this morning. We say one thing every single week. We try to communicate it in some way or another. But we say this, if you're a first-time guest at Genesis Church, welcome home. This is where you belong. You belong right here, I promise. You say, well, you don't know who I am. You don't know what my background is. You don't know where I'm from. You don't even know my lifestyle or anything about me, but I know one thing. You belong in a relationship with God. We talked about that last week. You know, whenever something is happening in your life, and it doesn't have to be anything bad. It could just be anything, period. Take, for instance, in the morning on your drive to work, and you're sitting in that slow, long line of traffic on the interstate. If you work in Memphis or somewhere around Memphis or somewhere around the interstate, just pretend you do if you don't. But if you're sitting in that long line of traffic that's moving, it's bumper to bumper, and you're creeping forward, you want to know there's a point to this. You want to know that, hey, I'm moving, barely moving. I can put it in park, occasionally get out, walk around my car, check the air in my tires, get back in and move a little bit further forward, and no one will know that eventually I'm going to get it to the front of this traffic, and there's going to be a tractor trailer up there that's lost its entire load of chickens, and there's a group of people running around catching chickens or something. I want to know there's a point to this. Maybe you're just sitting in line at the drive-thru. And you're sitting here waiting for your coffee because it's National Coffee Day. Amen. Some of you are already celebrating right now with your cup of coffee. Today's National Coffee Day. Some of you already Facebooked me this morning, which I thought, I didn't know whether to be excited about it or like embarrassed. It's like, okay, I drink that much coffee that even my friends are commenting on it. But you want to know that, hey, I'm sitting in that line to get my coffee, and there's several cars, and it's taking a while, and it's taking, and I'm there. And you know what? And I want to get up there and think, okay, someone just ordered 69 caramel lattes and pumpkin spice lattes. And incidentally, if you ask another guy to pick you up a pumpkin spice latte, we're going to need to see your man card identification, by the way. I didn't say you could. I love being in there, and I may have said this before. If I have, just overlook it. I love it when you're standing in Starbucks, and this guy walks in. He's about 6'3", 6'4". He's built, ripped, shoulders broad. You know, he walks in. He's got tattoos up and down both sides, maybe a couple piercings or stuff in. And he walks up the counter in that gruff voice and says, yes, I'd like a pumpkin spice latte. I love it. I love it. I love it. But here's the deal. You're sitting in line. You're thinking, okay, surely somebody has ordered this massive order. It's not because three cars in front of you, two friends are talking through the drive-thru window. You want to know there's a reason, there's a point behind all this. And we said this last week. There is a point to Genesis Church. We don't rent this building on Sunday morning, and I'm grateful to God for supplying this building. It's a comfortable seating, is it not? It's a great place. Guess what? The acoustics, pretty good in here, in a theater. It's a great place. It's easy to set up lighting. We don't have to haul chairs in. It's because a lot of people say, how do you have church in a theater? I'm thinking, have you ever been to a theater? They have seats, and it's an auditorium, and there's a screen, and all this stuff already is in the building. It's actually a pretty good, you know, we have to stretch a little bit. It's actually a pretty good fit, if you think about it for just a moment. I've even had people say, do y'all like meet out in the lobby? I'm like, or like set up chairs in the lobby? I'm like, no, there's chairs in theaters. There are. So, I mean, you want to know there's a point, and there's a point to Genesis Church. And then we talked about it last week, and I'm just going to hit it just one more time real quick. There's a point to Genesis, church, and it's actually the vision for this church. It's what we center everything around. And I want you to understand this and know it. You'll see it on printed material. You'll see it on our website. You'll see it wherever. You'll hear it repeated often. And most of our leaders, and especially most of our volunteers, they know this backwards and forwards by heart, because every time they show up at 7:45 and the trailer, because the pastor's running 15 minutes late, doesn't show up till 8 o'clock, they want to know, there's a point to this. And here it is. I want you to read it with me right here. You can see this. So people far from God can experience a new beginning. That's the point to it all. That's the vision of this church. And we talked about this last week, but we also talked about the fact that God, not only does this church have a vision, and that's God's vision for this church, by the way. We saw some passages that illustrated that very clearly last week. But did you know this morning God has a vision for your life? He does. We talked about this last week, and we saw it, and we summed it up this way, that God has a vision for your life, and it's for you to enjoy a new life in a relationship with Him. That's God's vision for your life. That is the foundational vision, the singular point that God wants to make to every living human being is this, that God wants you to enjoy a brand new life in a relationship with Him. That's what it's all about. We say it this way at Genesis, and you'll hear this repeated all the time. You belong in a relationship with God. You belong in a relationship with God. You say, well, I hear you say that every once in a while. You will hear that every single Sunday, every single week here at Genesis Church in some form. We may not say it exactly that way, but in some form we are trying to communicate that truth every single week to every person that walks in here. You belong in a relationship with God. And what goes as a part of that in a relationship with God, additionally, you belong in a relationship with God's people. Because we are in a relationship with God through Jesus, that we also belong in a relationship with His people. Some of you have gotten connected with small groups over the last 2 or 3 weeks. You can still get involved in one. There's like 6 or 7. There's 2 more brand new ones that are starting tomorrow night that I'm going to tell you about a little bit later in the service. You're going to hear about, see a video and stuff about. But here's the deal. As a part of becoming in that small group, some of you have started making some friendships. Some of you have started making some relationships. I had somebody actually say to me this morning, said, you know what? We realized something very quickly in that group. As we were talking about that small group, as we were talking about that lesson that we were looking at in that small group, was that none of us had any friends. And they realized that suddenly, you know what? Yeah, we do. We're right here together right now. Let's start being friends. And that's the point of a small group. You say, well, I've got some friends, but let me ask you something. Do you have a group of friends that you can just be, number one, totally honest about your life with? Number two, that you know struggled and dealt with some of the same things you've dealt with. Number three, they will encourage you, pray for you, and point you towards God. Is that small group of friends in your life that you find so dear and close that you're kind of doing life together with, is that taking place? If it is, man, awesome. If it's not, get connected with a small group. Here's the thing. There's nothing threatening about it. There's nothing threatening about sitting in somebody's living room, having a cup of coffee, having dinner together, getting to know one another, sharing each other's stories, talking about some passages of Scripture, kind of sharing life together, getting to know one another and encouraging each other in the things of God. Man, that says, you know, hook me up with that. That's what I want. As a guy, as a man, I want some of that in my life. I want some men that want the same thing that in my life. As a matter of fact, I'm meeting with a group of men tomorrow night. You can hook up with us. We're going to do a 6-7 week study together. It's every other Monday night, so hour and a half every other Monday night. Doesn't take up too much time. Get to know some guys, grow together, and deal with some things that guys deal with. But here's the deal. You belong in a relationship with God. That's the first of 3 truths that we try to communicate here every single week at Genesis. That's the first one. We want every single person that walks through these doors on any given Sunday, no matter what Sunday it is, no matter what the message is, no matter what series we're in, no matter what the songs, no matter what videos, no matter what's going on, G-Kids, what we're trying to communicate, 3 very basic truths to every single person that walks through this door. And number one is you belong in a relationship with God. The second one, as I want you to see, is this. You matter. You matter. You matter. In fact, your life matters to God. I don't know if you realize that or not. There's 7 billion people on this planet. It would be real easy to think that my life doesn't matter. With everything else that's going on this planet, that my life doesn't matter to God. But in fact, your life does matter to God. Here's what I want you to do real quick. I want you to just look at the person on your right, and I want you to just say this. You matter to God. Do that. Some of you are on the end of the row, and you're going, okay, I'm looking at a wall. Just say, you matter to God. Now, here, turn the other way. Turn to the left. And now the other people on the other side of the room are looking at the wall. Say, you matter to God. You matter to God. My wife hates it when I do stuff like that. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to say this out loud with me. We're all going to say it together. I matter to God. Say that with me. I matter to God. My goal this morning is in the next few minutes, by the time this service ends, you will not only see that, you will know it's true, and you will believe it for yourself and about yourself. And I want to tell you just a few reasons real quick why your life matters to God. Number one is God intended to make you all along. If you have a Bible, I'm going to ask you to turn to Psalm 139. If you don't, maybe you got a Bible app on your phone, iPad mini, tablet, whatever you carry. Maybe you got a MacBook with you this morning. I don't know. Whip it out. Psalm 139, verse 16. I want you to look at this verse. If you don't have it on anything in front of you, here it is. Psalm 139, 16. This is what David wrote. He said, God, he's talking to God in this psalm. He said, you saw me before I was ever born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Do you realize that God all along intended to make you? Intended for you to be born. Intended for you to be the person that you are. Listen to this. David understood that God intended to make him all along. And that is true of you as well. He said, look, God, you saw me even before I was born. He said, every day of my life was written down, recorded, every moment was laid out before the first one ever came to pass. You were intended by God all along. You may have been an accident to your parents, but you were no accident to God. Let me tell you something. I wrote this down a couple of months ago, and if you want to, and incidentally, if the worship team wants to use this, it'd be a great line for a song. I'm a horrible songwriter, so I'm not going to say that. Here's the deal. I wrote this down a few months ago. You may have been the product of a one-night stand, but you are always a part of God's beautiful plan. You say, what? You don't know my situation. You don't know what I was born into. Some of you have adoptive parents. I don't care. You were intended by God all along. You were no accident to God. Second thing. See, I'm going to move through these pretty quickly. Somebody told me I need to hurry up and get done because the green flag drops at 1 o'clock at Dover. So, and then somebody else told me that I need to keep my message short because we were baptizing some folks today. And I took that as that they meant that we're going to baptize so many folks that the message needs to be shorter. Amen? Amen. Let's move along. You are custom built by God. Now, that's a statement that automatically car guys just tuned into, or car girls, if you're a car girl. You are custom built by God. God is not GM or Toyota or Nissan. He does not run an assembly line, making one car a duplicate of the other, the duplicate of another, and our goal is to make them all perfectly matched. God's not doing that. God custom built you. Listen to Psalm 139 again, verse 13 and 14. Listen to what David's talking about this theme about how his life was laid out by God. And he's overwhelmed with that truth to the point that he writes this song and realizes, you know what? God, you intended for me to be born all along. You made me a certain way. You created me and fashioned me, as we're about to see in these two verses. This is overwhelming truth to me. This is incredible. Listen to what he says in verse 13. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body. And some of you are in the medical field. You know how delicate the inner parts of your body are. He says, you made them all, God, and knit me together in my mother's womb. Listen to verse 14. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. And if you've ever studied chemistry and biology and microbiology, anatomy and physiology, you understand how complicated your human body is. It is very complicated. And the smallest little thing can shut down every other part of your body. Amen, Emily. It does not take much because your body is so complex. But listen to what David said about the fact that his body was so wonderfully complex. And he had never taken anatomy before. He had killed a bunch of folks, so I'm sure he had seen some inner parts of people's bodies. But here's the deal. And I just grossed you out with that statement too. Some of you were just, He was a warrior. He was a soldier. But listen to what he said about the fact that God made him so complex that he couldn't understand it. He said, your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. If you do anything with your hands for a living, you do anything with your mind, you build and create, you know how what it means that you put workmanship into it. Some of you do contracting work and all kinds of things. Some of you, you work with, and you're in that creative process where you have to come up with plans and designs. And some of you are doing different types of stuff and have different gifts. And you know how important workmanship is, that craftsmanship, that attention to detail. And David said, God, that is how custom built I am. Consider how many parts of your body and your life are unique to you, an individual, from any other single person on this planet. Your DNA, its signature, your fingerprint, your retina scan. There's other parts of your body, your life, that are very unique to you. And when you see a group of people in a stadium, 100,000, 200,000 people, it's easy to get lost. When you start looking at population statistics and you realize that you probably live within 30 miles of about a million people, it's easy to get lost. When you're a number, whether it's a Social Security number or an employee number, whatever that number is, it's easy to think I'm just part of the big group. But God says you're not part of the big group. I custom built you and planned you before you were ever born. Man, that's some powerful truth. It's the third thing. It just talks about how special you are. You're special. I don't mean that in a bad way, by the way. You're special. Some of you are really special. Third thing, you're here for a reason. That's important. Let's see how that plays out. Listen to what Paul says, and he says it this way in Ephesians 2:10. He said, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. Listen to the second part. That talks about the fact that we're God's masterpiece. We're uniquely built by God, custom built by God. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. One of the biggest challenges in a person's life, one of the biggest questions they have to answer from the time they're a little kid, and especially as they're an adolescent, a teenager, a young adult, in their 20s, some folks go into their 30s and their 40s and even beyond. If they never answer this question, they deal with this question their entire life. Why am I here? What's the point? Is there any meaning, any purpose to my life? Some people spend their entire life and never answer that question. I want to assure you this morning, based on God's word, you're here for a reason. You're not only on this planet for a reason, you're in this time period for a reason. You're not only on this time planet for a reason, you're in this hemisphere for a reason. You're not only in this hemisphere for a reason, you're in this country for a reason. You're not only in this country for a reason, you're in this state for a reason. And some of you may have come from out of state this morning. I don't know. You may be from out of town. You are not only in this state this morning for a reason, you are in this town this morning for a reason. You're not only in this town this morning for a reason. Let me tell you something this morning. Clearly, Once and for all, you're in this building for a reason this morning. Because God intended for you to be here this morning. Because God has something to say to you and I this morning. And it's this: you matter. Your life matters to God. You are important to Him. You are special to Him. You are custom built by Him. You're here for a reason. You're His masterpiece. He has created you brand new in Jesus Christ, that through a relationship with Christ, you and I get a new beginning with God. And that is so that He can show you the good plan and purpose that He had from you all along. He says, look, he has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. There's a point to your life, and there's a point to every part of your life. God desires a relationship with you for this reason, so He can unfold His plan for your life. Your life matters to God because God created you on purpose, for a purpose, and with a purpose. Next, not only are you here for a reason, but you are valuable. And this is probably the most important thing that I want you to see this morning. I don't know if you realize this or not. I think most of you do. The value of something is not determined by what people think something is worth. The value of something is determined by what someone is willing to what? Pay for something. In other words, you can think that your car, you may think that your car out there is worth about $10,000, and it may be to you. But if you take that to a car dealer, or you try to sell that vehicle to another individual, they may only want to pay you about $4,000 for it. If you've ever bought a used car, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You walk up and think, I'm not giving a dime more than blank for it. And they ask about 25 to 50% more than that for it. And you're thinking, no way. But do you realize this morning that the value of something is not determined by what people think it's worth, but what someone is willing to pay for it? To pay for that. And I hope you notice the difference. All your life, your entire life, your value has been measured and determined by what other people think you're worth. And perhaps you had some great parents, and your parents may have valued you, and they were loving, and they gave you attention. Some of you have newborn babies, and you're like holding that baby all the time. You're going to regret that, by the way, in about 6 to 12 months, because they're still going to want you to hold them all the time. You got to get them a little independence early. They can cry for a couple minutes before you go in there and retrieve them and save them from that awful crib and having to sleep, that terrible sleep. All your life, your value has been measured by what other people think. As a child, you're nurtured by your parents. I hope you were. If you were not, maybe you lost some value. You felt like you weren't worth much because maybe one of your parents didn't stick around, or maybe your parents didn't show you that affection and that tenderness and that love and that nurturing that you needed early on. And as you started school, and your value was determined by what other people thought about you and what other people think about you. And your teacher, because he's got 23 other students in that same class, she can't give you as much attention as your parents did. So when you started school, you know, kindergarten, actually I started in first grade, because you didn't have to go to kindergarten when I was in school, or when I started school, tells you how old I am. But here's the deal. When I started first grade, you know, you have that first grade and you go in there with that classroom full of students and you go, and you want all the teacher's attention. And then you realize, you know what? That's not my parent. They're not giving me as much attention as my parents did. They don't give me as much attention as my grandparents do. And your value drops a little bit. You think, well, I'm just not so special to them. And then maybe you're in that classroom full of classmates and they don't know who you are. They don't have a clue. So they may make fun of you. They may pick on you or just kind of, you know, pick at you or something like that. And guess what happens to how you feel about your value? It starts to slowly decline. Do you know, and you're following me with this, I can tell. As you get older, those same cycles happen, don't they? You get in middle school or junior high and you start joining some clubs and some organizations and playing sports, and suddenly your value goes up. You're in a team. You're on a team, unless you play for a sorry team, and then your value goes down. Yeah, well, okay, I'll leave that alone, move on. But your value goes up and you think, yeah, I'm a part of a team, but then you don't perform real well for one game and your value goes down a little bit because you're thinking, oh, yeah, I see how other people look at me. And you get in high school, maybe, and you kind of start, you know, noticing girls or noticing the guys, and maybe you start dating a little bit, and your value goes up because, man, the way they make you feel, they want to go out with you, and they show you this attention, and they value you, and your value goes up, and then they dump you by text, and your value goes down, and actually, it went way down at that point. You're devastated. You hold up in your room. I'm not going to school ever again. I can't show my face. And your value's down. You get out of high school and you're trying to figure out, okay, am I going to go to college? Am I just going to do some vocational or some technical work? What, you know, what am I going to do with my life? And you're trying to figure these out. Maybe you land that first job. And your value goes up. And you're thinking, oh man, I'm making it. I just paid my first utility bill with my name on it. I'm an adult. And incidentally, that's a good way to know if you're grown or not. I always heard, you know you're, because my dad said this, I think, a couple of times. He said, you'll know you're a man when your utility bill has your name on it. I said, okay, understand that. My mom, for graduation, got me luggage. I was picking up on those tips, guys. You should too, by the way. But here's the deal. You get that job and your value goes up. And you lose the job and your value goes down. That's why men struggle so much when they get laid off. So much of our value is placed off our career. You walk up and introduce yourself to a guy and you say, hey, my name's Bodie. One of the first things comes out of a guy's mouth is, and I'm a electrician, computer technician. I'm a blank. They give you their job title, what they do for their career. I'm a police officer. I'm a teacher. And so much of their value is placed in that. And when they lose a job, man, guys especially, can hit bottom quick. I've been there a couple times, done that. It sucks. And your value goes down. And all your life, you've been on this roller coaster. You get married, value goes up. Getting ready to do a wedding next Saturday. I'm excited about it. Pumped. Love, been meeting with this great couple. It's been visiting Genesis for 3 or 4 months now. I'm excited, been getting to know them. It's a great time. Your value's up. You value one another. You're placing all this emphasis on one another, and so your value goes up. But if you're not careful, and we've talked about this specifically, if you're not careful, you'll have these negative experiences with one another, and your feelings about yourself will go down. Let a spouse walk out on you. Some people never recover their value. And you know why? Your whole life, your value and my value has been on a roller coaster of up and downs for one reason. We've been looking in the wrong place for our value. I want you to listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1. He says, you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God paid a hefty price for you. The rest of the world may not value you. Your value, you may feel like your worth goes up and down as on a roller coaster. It's because you don't realize the price God paid for you. You don't realize the check that God wrote for you and I to purchase us out of sin. As a matter of fact, God paid a price for you that was so high that no one else on this planet could or would pay. No amount of money in all the world could have purchased you and I. God gave His only perfect, sinless Son and exchanged Him for you and 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 you. Gave his son for you to purchase you. You are valuable because God loves you, not the other way around. God does not love you because you're valuable. Because God loves you, you are valuable. And some of you have been riding this roller coaster all of your life. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm just going to say it like it is. Women are very, very susceptible to this. Men, we're just susceptible in other ways. Our value is based on our job and the trophies on our wall and the toys in our garage and the size of our bank account or our 401k. And when that's low or we're going through problems or we're struggling in our marriages, then suddenly our value plummets. And it's because we have forgotten the hefty price that was unmeasurable that God paid for you and for I. Stop looking at the people around you and what they think you are worth for your value. Start focusing on what God was willing to pay for you and use that as the source of your value. Stop looking at all these peripheral things around you and start training your focus and attention back to the cross and realize that God emptied out the bank account of heaven to purchase a relationship with you. That's how valuable you are now because God paid an unimaginable price for you. And you may never feel like you're valuable to anyone else. But because God loves you and purchased your freedom, you are valuable. Listen to what Psalm 49 says, 49 verse 7 and 8 says. I'm going to read this and I'll be done. No man can redeem the life of another. You can't get your value from somebody else. Or give to God a ransom for him. Your spouse may love you. They can't do this for you. If you're looking for your value in your spouse, you're going to make them miserable and yourself miserable. And you're setting your spouse up for failure because you're putting them on the throne of God where only God belongs. No man can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for him. Listen to what it says. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough. If you have the King James Version, I think it says, the redemption of their soul is precious. And that little word precious there says, it has the idea that it's an amount that no one can calculate. It's like no one has ever seen that amount of treasure and value. It does not exist in the human mind. It's like that commercial where they're talking about higher numbers. And one of them, the little kid says infinity. And the other guy, and the guy that's hosting says, well, what about infinity plus one? Infinity. And then somebody says infinity plus affinity. They go, ooh, that's the trump card. And then somebody says, what about infinity times infinity? And he goes, good one. That's it. That's the price God paid for you. That's how valuable you are to Him. Your life is valuable. You matter to God. And some of you have never felt that way. In 50 years of your life, you've never felt that way. In 23 years of your life, you have never felt that way. He created you intentionally. He custom designed and built you. You're here for a very specific reason, and you are valuable to God. Did you know what was missing in that list? Your performance. Your good deeds. Your intellect. Your past mistakes. Your attributes, your height, your weight, your skin color, your nationality. Your financial resources, your social status, your upbringing, all of that was missing in that list of where you find your value. You matter to God. I want you to bow your heads with me. Let's pray together. Some of you have gone your entire life and you've never truly believed that. Maybe you had a parent walk out on you when you were a kid. Maybe you lost a parent. A parent died. Or maybe you weren't even raised by your parents. And because of that, you've never really thought you were worth anything or valuable to anyone. And you're confronted with the truth today, and that is that you're valuable to God. You matter to Him. Maybe some of you have been through some events and some circumstances in the last few months or years of your life, or maybe just recently this past week or something. You've lost a job. Maybe you've experienced a spouse walking out on you. Maybe you've got a teenager that has just gone off the deep end and you're at your wit's end and you don't know what to do. And suddenly you think, you know what, I'm a horrible father. I'm a horrible mother because of this. And your value has plummeted because you're placing it on all the wrong people and all the wrong things. And today, you matter to God. Maybe your whole life you've been trying to get people to notice you. You've been trying to get people to like you. You've even compromised in some areas in your life just to get other people to notice you or to get some attention. Even if it's bad or negative attention for doing dumb stuff that you know you have no business participating in, you're doing it because you want somebody to value you. You want somebody to say, you matter to me. God has been whispering, has been telling you your whole life, you matter to Him. And today is your day, and now is your time to respond to what God has been telling you, and that's that you matter to Him, that He loves you, that He created you, He intended you, and He has a plan for you. And now it's time to lay down all those other things and begin to follow Jesus. And right where you sit, I just wanted to invite you to begin to pray quietly to God and once and for all give your life to Him and experience the freedom of being accepted and loved and brought into His family. Just begin to pray quietly right now. Just say, oh God, I know today that you love me. I know that Jesus died on a cross for me, not because I was good enough or looked a certain way, but because that's how much you loved me. And you traded all of the treasure of heaven to pay for me. So God, forgive me today for going after all those other things. God, I give you control of my life. I surrender it all to you today. I want to follow you. God, the best way I know how, I give my life to you. Help me to live for you. Thank you for loving me, for saving me, for changing me, for hearing my prayer. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed, no one looking around. If you prayed that prayer of surrender to God, something like it, and you gave Him your life today for the first time, here's what I want you to do. Just raise your hand right now if that's you. Amen. God bless you. Man, God bless you. Others of you. You say, Bodie, I prayed that prayer. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I surrendered my life to Him this morning. Just raise your hand right now. Raise it high so I can see it. Awesome. Maybe you realize this morning, you know what? I didn't pray that prayer, but I know that I need to. Bodie, will you pray for me right now? I didn't pray that prayer, but I know I need to. Just pray for me right now. If that's you, raise your hand. Raise it high where I can see it. I want to pray for you right now. There's others of you. You know what? You have that relationship. There's been that time in your life where you've said yes to Jesus. But today was a vivid reminder of just how much you matter to God and how much He loves you. And you say, you know what? I've not been living like it. I've been looking to all these other things to tell me how much I'm worth. I keep coming up short. I keep coming up empty. I keep coming up disappointed. I've been after all these other things instead of following Jesus. And maybe right now you just want to pray and just recommit your life to Him. Just pray right now. God, welcome you. Open arms. He's your Father who loves you. Just pray and say, God, I've been looking to all these other things. I've been spending all my energy, all my resources on all these other things instead of following you and trusting you. So God, I just want to freshly commit my life to you this morning. God, thank you for never turning your back on me. Thank you for never giving up on me. God, I'm coming home today. Thank you, God, for your love for me. If that's you, if you recommitted your life to Him this morning, do me a favor, just raise your hand right now if that's you. Awesome. Man, God bless you, sir. Awesome. God bless you. Man, awesome, sir. Let me pray for you right now. Father, for all these men, women, young people here this morning, for those that said yes to you, gave their life to you once and for all, surrendered their life to you, God, thank you. Thank you for saving them and changing them and giving them a new beginning today. God, I pray that we would celebrate because there is a party going on in heaven right now just for them. Because your word says that all of heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. Father, for others, God, they didn't give their life to you. Holy Spirit, continue to draw them, speak to their hearts. Father, that they would not leave this place here today, not leave the intimacy of this moment with you without saying, yes, I want to follow Jesus. Lord, for others here this morning, I've been walking at a guilty distance. I've been living for other things instead of following Jesus. And recommitted their life to you this morning. God, I pray that, Lord, they would walk in that decision. They would live it out this week, today, tonight, in their homes and where they were. God, I pray that as a church, Lord, we would rejoice with them and then walk with them. Pray with them and for them and invest in them, Lord, disciple them, equip them. God, I pray that that decision today would be a turning point, a defining moment in their life. That on September the 29th in 2013 was a game changer for me. That you would restore their marriage and their homes and their God and hope to their life. Father, we bless you and thank you this morning. In just a moment, we're going to stand to our feet and we're going to sing. And here's what I want to do. If you prayed and asked Jesus in your life, you surrendered your life to Him for the very first time this morning, and you truly meant that, here's what I want to do. When we stand up, I'm going to meet you on that platform right over there. I just want you to step out of your seat. You're not going to have to do anything, stand before this church or anything embarrassing. I'd never do anything to embarrass you. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you a high five, probably give you a hug, and I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to get some folks that are going to pray with you this morning, and we're going to celebrate that decision. For the others of you, You're going to be baptized today. You came this morning. You're excited. You're ready. Here's what I want you to do. When we stand up, you're going to be baptized today. Just meet me down there. I'm going to send you out. We're going to get you everything you need to get ready to be baptized. As I said at the beginning of the service, you may not have come prepared to get baptized this morning, but you know that you've never made that first step of obedience. You've never truly just said yes to Jesus and followed Him. You realize Jesus was baptized? And when John the Baptist, he went to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist said, "Oh, wait a minute, Lord, I need to be baptized by you." He said, "John, let it be so for now in obedience to the Father." Some of you need to make that first step of obedience. You've trusted Him before. You've asked Jesus in your life. You've never been baptized. Man, follow Jesus today.